The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Always great to talk to you, Rolien. How are you this afternoon?
Good, thanks. And you, I don't know what I would say. Somebody phoned me up and told me I was the world's richest man. It's a lot of shoes, I guess.
Listen, I'm not getting serious for a moment, because a very wealthy man, a very important benefactor of Israel, Sheldon Adelson, apparently he passed away this afternoon.
Yes, at the age of 87 years of age, billionaire philanthropist and a huge, huge friend to the state of Israel. In fact, I think many of our top political echelon and also our organizations, our institutions in Israel have certainly been the benefactors of Sheldon Adelson. He was a key backer of President Trump. He was known to back Republican candidates. He was also a huge supporter of Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has said that he is absolutely heartbroken. And the tributes are pouring in from all over the Jewish world. President Rivlin just minutes ago said, saddened by the passing of Sheldon Adelson, who loved the Jewish people and Israel. He was a great American patriot who strengthened the bonds between Israel and America with boundless generosity. He also was the owner of Israel Hayom, one of the publications that has been kind of criticized in the past for being very, very pro-Netanyahu, and is kind of embroiled in the charges against the prime minister. But we do send our condolences to Miriam Adelson, his wife, who is Israeli-born. Very, very touching to read her tribute to him. We've also had tributes coming in from the head of the opposition, that's Yesh Atid's Yair Lapid. We've heard from Naftali Bennett. We've heard from many, many, many of our leaders, including Gideon Sa'ar. But Benjamin Netanyahu says he received the news of Adelson's death with absolute deep sorrow and heartbreak. He said Sheldon's tremendous efforts to strengthen Israel's position in the United States and to strengthen the connection between Israel and the diaspora will be remembered for generations. And he goes on to talk about support for organizations such as Taglit Birthright, as amongst those of the many beneficiaries of Sheldon Adelson. And he ends off by saying, we will forever remember Sheldon and his tremendous contribution to the state of Israel and the Jewish people. And as we would always say, may his memory be blessed.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that is what Bibi thinks. I sincerely think he does feel that he's lost a massive supporter. I want to stay on the issue of Bibi, because yesterday I asked you to do some homework for us. I'm utterly perplexed as to why Bibi Netanyahu, of all people, is looking to align himself with RUM, the Islamist Arab Party. This from a man who a couple of elections ago warned Israelis to go out and vote because the Arabs are coming. Rolien, I don't understand. Explain.
Well, the Arabs are not only coming, they're a huge part of Israeli society and a huge part of his potential constituency. But it's very interesting to watch these maneuverings by the prime minister, who very much now is backed into a corner, whether or not he stays in the corner or comes out fist swinging, or if the coronavirus vaccine rollout is going to be the one issue that helps him hold on to the premiership. But we've seen so many of the political parties, both existing and those that have either broken away to form new ones new parties springing up, who have all started with the warning against Prime Minister Netanyahu. And I think he's been very, very savvy on two fronts. On the first front is he wants to try and open a new constituency or a new electorate for himself, or a new bank of supporters. And on the other, I think he wants to crush any criticism which he knows will be forthcoming, that will say that, you know, he isn't respectful of our Arab citizens, who are, and I must remind listeners that Arab Israeli citizens are enfranchised, they do have the right to vote and representation in the government, and they're not Palestinians. It's a very important distinction that we have to make, you know, when we talk about Arab Israelis, because many people don't understand that there's a difference between Palestinians and Arab Israelis. But yeah, very interesting maneuverings from the Prime Minister. And we're only going to see how that bears up on the 23rd of March.
Ro, we hadn't agreed to talk about this, but I am throwing you a bit of a curveball here. I just know you catch them so very well. I happened to watch Benny Gantz last night talking in Hebrew to members of the opposition, making a very strong call for them to all come together to oust Netanyahu. Is this not a man who people now are ignoring? Is this not a man who's lost all his political capital?
Well, I think it takes a great set of the proverbial to stand up in front of the nation and say, I made a mistake. I think that it does take tremendous integrity. And Benny Gantz is known to be a man of great personal integrity, however, with a lot of political naivety, to stand in front of the nation and say, you know, I messed it up. I shouldn't have done what I did, because he has lost a lot of political capital. I mean, the last polls had the blue and white at 4 seats in the as it projected in the next election, which is a tremendous fall from grace from the last one. And a lot of his voter base saying, well, you know, we trusted you. We trusted you to fulfill that one promise that you made, which is get rid of Bibi. And then you handed over our ballots to the Likud. How do we trust you from there? And even though he was basically ignored by these parties, and there's many of them popping up, I think that you know, you have to give him his kavod, you have to give him his praise for having the guts to stand there and admit to his voter base that he made a mistake. And let's see how we go moving forward.
Okay, that's a fascinating perspective on that. Let's talk about Germany, France, Jordan, and Egypt apparently demanding that Israel return to the 67 borders.
Well, you know, it always amuses me when you have a meeting of states discussing the prospects and the future of Palestinians and Israelis without any Palestinians and Israelis being present. It really fascinates me. But this new, they call themselves the Munich Group. It's made up of Jordan and Egypt, France and Germany, and they had a meeting in Cairo yesterday where they discussed that, you know, we have to have a two-state solution along 1967 lines. Some of us from both sides of the proverbial border, Israelis and Palestinians, would just like to remind these four countries that the next time you decide to have a conversation about our national aspirations, could you do us the integrity and the manners of at least including us in these kind of discussions. But we are only a couple of days away from the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. So I think that this is a shot fired across the bow to try and get his attention. And I know many people have been asking me, what do I think the Biden administration's priorities are going to be with regards to Israel? I think right now the Biden administration's priority is going to be the domestic issues in America before they get to Israel. But it will be interesting. We have heard from the incoming administration, some of them have been speaking to Jared Kushner, understanding, you know, his thoughts and the movements in the Middle East. So it will be very interesting to see if he follows an Obama doctrine, or if he takes some aspects of the Trump peace plan. It's going to be fascinating to see. But whatever happens, please just make sure that you, at the very least, bother to include Israelis and Palestinians.
Absolutely. You seem quite adamant about the next point we're going to talk about, because there's lots of exclamation points. You say, no, the social media purge is not Kristallnacht. Who is stupid enough to imply that it is?
who is stupid enough, former Republican Steve King and Fox News anchor woman Jeanine Pirro. Now, we heard a couple of months ago, Christiana and Paul making that comparison. I know there's a lot of debate and conjecture around Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was very careful in his comparison because he explained what Kristallnacht was, and he also said it's from his perspective, it's the violence that comes when a mob blindly follows a leader. So I'm in two minds about his speech, but I don't think his comparison was as bad as Steve King and Jeanine Pirro saying that the cyber purging of far-right organizations like QAnon, like the Proud Boys, who now call themselves the Proud Boys, that is not Kristallnacht. Let's be very, very clear. But what it has shown us, Simon, is that there is a massive need for Holocaust education in the United States. If the comparison of the event that is seen as the precursor to the Holocaust, where thousands of synagogues were burnt to the ground and destroyed, and Jewish businesses and homes looted, and boycotts called, and Jewish men rounded up and sent to concentration camps, and many Jews afterwards committing suicide. You cannot compare that with being told that you cannot post your nonsense on Parler or Twitter or Facebook or wherever you choose to post your social media.
I should leave it there because it's 5:31 and I'm a little bit late. I am going to hold off headlines for another 30 seconds because I want you on the line while I just read three quick SMSs. Roland weighing in saying, just for the record, Heiko Maas, that leftist is not talking in my name. So clearly a reaction to what's going on in discussions between the Europeans. Clive weighing in on Sheldon Adelson saying he gave $1 billion to Israel in the war of defense for the Iron Dome. A mensch of note. And Austin Gibbs saying, so good to have you and Roline Marks back in tandem on the Overdrive show. I wanted you to hear that because I think it is so good that you and I are back on tandem on the Overdrive show. Roline Marks, thank you so much as always.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.